The world premiere of the new play American Underground by Brenna Scarry is and directed by Julianne Boyd opens at Barrington Stage Company's Boyd Quinson Main Stage in Pittsfield, Massachusetts on October 2nd. It runs through October 20th. In the not-so-distant future, an interracial couple enjoys a visit from their college-age son when a young Muslim woman arrives at their back door. She's looking for a safe passage via a new underground railroad as Muslims are being detained and imprisoned. Suddenly, a government official knocks on the door, wreaking havoc on the family. They must decide how much to risk to save an innocent woman. To tell us more about the play American Underground, we welcome the playwright Brenna Scarry, as well as artistic director of the Barrington Stage Company, Julianne Boyd. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Joe.
Great pleasure to have you both here. Julianne, let us begin with you of how this play came on your radar.
The play came on our radar because it was a play that was submitted to the Berman Play Contest. Last year, one of our board members gave us some funding to find new plays and to find winners, the best plays. And this was one of the three winners. And we read about 400 plays, a little over 400 plays, and this was one of the three winners. And it was very exciting. And it was about a subject I had never thought too much about. And I learned a lot from it. And also, I love the fact that it dealt with something very relevant, but yet it was a thriller. It was a very exciting thriller. So we chose it, and now we're doing it on our main stage.
Excellent. How long ago did you write this or start the process?
The original idea, I think the original spark was the run-up to the 2016 election. And just hearing so much of the anti-Middle Eastern and anti-Muslim rhetoric right. that was in the culture and ether. And that made me very nervous because my father is from Iran and is a Shiite Muslim. And so I started having just sort of nightmare visions of where this kind of rhetoric could lead. And that those sort of waking nightmares, I guess, led to writing the play.
That extrapolation, though, is pretty much what we've seen over the last 3 years.
That's right. That's right. Yes. I mean, things like those fears then resulted in policy, things like the Muslim ban. And in other countries, for instance, in China, we've seen that there is, in fact, imprisoning of Muslims, and there are camps set up.
So you think of a play like this that is written, say, 5 years ago, looks at kind of a dystopian future, and then, oh, well, here we are. So mm-hmm. now what? So it plays differently, doesn't it?
Yes, I think so.
I think the play, it's not here we are, it's here we are in the not-so-distant future, because Muslims are being rounded up, imprisoned, put in Muslim camps with the potential of killing them.
Right.
So we haven't quite gotten there yet, but, it's getting close. It's getting close, and I think that's what makes the play even more relevant, because it could be happening, in, as Brent says, in the not-so-distant future. It is happening in China now. I mean, there are camps right. where they're rounding up Muslims. So we haven't gotten that far yet.
So let's talk about the family, though, the family that is put into this, that is in the situation. So what's the right thing? What's the right thing to do?
Well, I think that's what the play itself grapples with, is exactly that question. They're struggling because, you know, they're sticking their neck out for people in trouble.
And when you think of that, that really puts us in the situation, I assume, Julie, what will we do?
Exactly, Joe. It's, I think we put ourselves in the roles of the parents. It's an interracial couple. It's a black man and a Hispanic woman. They have obviously a biracial son. So they've experienced themselves prejudice, but now it's past that point, and they've become involved with their own underground railroad, so to speak, helping Muslims. So people who understand prejudice sometimes can, are there in the forefront to help other people. And I think I think the play ultimately asks, what will we all do? What would we do?
How does this differ? How is this similar to work that, your previous work?
This is, I think, the first thriller that I've written as a play. And that was really exciting. And I think the nature of the material as I was writing it, it lent itself to that genre. I've written thriller type things in other mediums like a screenplay. But this was the first thriller for the stage.
You look at it as a thriller, too.
Yeah, it really is. It's very exciting. It's very fast-paced. It's 90 minutes, no break. So what happens, this couple decides to hide this woman to get her to freedom, a safe house, so to speak. And just as they're about to do so, there's a knock on the door, and it's a government official. It's a government official from security checking to see if they're a safe house. The government official does not know that they're hiding someone. But so that's the thrill. Will they be able to hide that? And will they be able to hide the fact? I mean, they don't know how much the government official, who's a woman, knows. And so that starts unraveling how much she knows and how much they can keep it from her, the secret that they're hiding this woman.
How many actors?
Five.
Cast of five.
Five.
What are the challenges in directing something like that is so fast-paced in 90 minutes?
Well, it's making sure we're all on the same page, that we all have the same. We have a study guide. By the way, we're also doing this for schools. There are about 2,000 high school students coming to see it. So we have a study guide. We're making sure that people understand what Islam is. And I think many people have a derogative connotation because that's what's being fed out there
right. In
the press and so forth. We're making sure that there's a positive understanding of what Islam is. The challenge is it. Stranger enough, Joe, it's not that challenging because it's such an exciting story. And when you have a cast that all agree that this is an important play for people to see, it's kind of a joy.
So what are the early discussions like? When you sit down and you start the early work on the play, when you're all looking at the material and discussing it, what are those conversations like?
Well, one of the conversations was with the young Muslim woman is like, how long has she been in hiding? Where has she been in hiding? What has happened to this country that she's hiding? I mean, where exactly is she? And in the backstory is that she was hiding with her father and her brother, and they were taken away, and she's alone now. What would it be like hiding this country alone? I mean, how would you feel? What senses would be working overtime? And also, the couple, how did they get involved? And they were trying to save their son from this. They wanted to be part of this underground. They don't want him involved. He becomes involved, and the challenges are, what would you do if your child knew that you were trying to do something and you were trying to save your child from that? Right. So they're all very real, dramatic discussions. Brent, what do you think?
No, I think that's exactly right. A lot about the character's backstory and a lot of discussions about how this world came to be and agreeing on a shared background for that.
Mm-hmm. I assume you like having the playwright in the room.
I love it. Love it. It's great. He's a great editor of his work. So if a sentence is too long, he can just figure out the words. And the thing that's wonderful is the cast is very creative, too. So it's great for them to have discussions because Brent has a much deeper understanding of Islam than I do. And also, it's a play that he wrote and he feels very deeply about it. So sometimes we want to know, like, what were you thinking when you have this speech? I mean, where do you think this character is right now? How much tension is in the room right now? When you do a thriller, you know, you have to you gradually build up the tension. And so knowing what his thoughts are in that is very helpful.
And I assume you like it, too, although there must be a attending your own funeral aspect to it as well. Let's hear what people are saying about what I've done.
Right. No, you know, I mean, I, as somebody who's a playwright, one of the things I love about theater is the collaborative aspect of it. And people, you know, we have a great director and very talented, smart actors. So they're going to raise questions that I never thought of when I'm just sitting at my computer. I genuinely feel like the development process of this play has made it so much better. We had a reading of it in the spring and learned a lot from that. So the play has really evolved, and that's been I'd love to take all the credit, but I can't. It's been very collaborative.
Where does it go? Give us a sense of what happened from the reading to where we are now for your work.
Well, I think basically with a play like this, it's really clarifying what the central issues are, both thematically and dramatically. So there was just a lot of stuff in the earlier version that we didn't need. The play actually ended with a different character ending it, and it's really just finding what the play wants to be, wants to say.
Tell us about the cast.
Oh, the cast, of course, is fabulous. I went
You're known for that.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay, Joe. But they're really, really fabulous. Two of the women did the reading in April. Kathleen McNenny and Rasha Zamorini plays the young Muslim woman. Kathleen plays the government inspector. And so it was great just having them on board because they already knew the history of the play. Alan Green is the dad. This is his fourth show at Barrington, so it's great to have somebody who's mm-hmm. who can lead the way knowing what's happening in Pittsfield and Barrington, and you should shop here, you should eat here. And
knows where the light switches are.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, you know? And then we have a young man who recently, maybe 2 years ago, graduated from acting school, Justin Withers, playing the son. And he's super talented, super, super talented. Let's see, who am I forgetting? Natasha Diaz, who plays the mom. I worked with her many, many years ago, maybe 30 years ago when she was fresh out of school, and she's now playing the mom. So it's great. And Alan and Natasha worked together before I'd worked with Kathleen. I mean, we were all somehow connected. Kathleen McNenny, who teaches at Juilliard, teaches acting. She also had taught a course where Justin went to school. So she's taught Justin, who's the young man. And so it's like, as Brent said, it's a great collaboration because there are no egos. It's like, let's get this play up so people can really understand, A, what's happening in this world today, and also be entertained with the thriller.
Be entertained. Let me go back to the young man for a second, of the excitement for you to find this fresh talent and to give them a good shot, a very nice, great production to start out their career with.
It is so exciting. We love that. You know, we've started many people.
Right.
I mean, Aaron Tveit worked with us, one of his first jobs out of college. He already was equity, but literally when he was in his early 20s, Ben Platt, who had the lead in Evan Hansen, I think we gave him his equity card. And so just finding that talent, and there's something about, they'll always remember Barrington. There's a relationship there when it's one of your first jobs and it's an important job or an exciting one. So with Justin, the fact that I didn't know that he had been a student of Kathleen's, although our casting director had also taught him and thought that he was just like perfect for the role. And sometimes, you know, that's why you have a casting director. They lead you. They know where the young talent is. They know that they go to all those showcases, you know, when the senior showcases of all the actors and all the different programs around the city and sometimes around the country. So they can sometimes point us, in the right direction.
Let me ask this question to both of you, beginning with the playwright, as to when you're done, when the audience is done watching this, Brent, what would you like the conversation to be on the way home?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know if I have a specific conversation, but I certainly think that we're hoping that this provokes a lot of conversation.
Right.
I mean, I think, you know, just off the top of my head, I think I would like it if the conversation led back to, even though this is a fictional. Obviously, play set in the near future. I would hope that it would cause people to reflect on where we are at this present moment and how we got here.
Julie?
I would hope. I would love them to keep on discussing the play. That's what many of our plays. That's what we're hoping the audience does. But I'm hoping they'll think about how to be a little more generous in spirit and not to have so much. There's so much hatred in this world right now. So many people are spewing hatred. And I don't know if you know, but the administration, we just found this out last week. The administration, I don't know exactly who, I think it was Betsy DeVos, Department of Education, wrote to the University of North Carolina and Duke and said, your views of Islam are too positive. You must change. You know, Joe, you know this. You must change your views by September 22nd or we withdraw money.
To cut the funding for Middle Eastern studies.
That's exactly right. And I think University of North Carolina agreed, but I don't think Duke did. Certainly not yet. I'd like less of that. I'd like to see less of that. And I'm hoping people can pressure, you know, this is not, we're not talking about radical Islam here. We're talking about Middle Eastern studies and understanding the world. I'm just hoping that this could cause a little people to think about a little less hatred in the world, a little less distrust of people who look different, who believe differently. We all have to start this discussion, and maybe this is just our little way of saying, yeah, we're starting it here and a lot of other theaters, and maybe the arts can help in this discussion because the politics don't seem to be able to grab hold of it.
You've had a beautiful 25th anniversary season. So I ask you this question not as a director of this production, but as the artistic director of do you like to have the curtain come down and then say, okay, now it's on you? Or do you also like to have programming, talk back, so forth, that further the conversation within the confines of your theater?
The latter. Yeah. We do a lot of that. We're doing talkbacks with this. Brent is talking on October 5th at 4 o'clock in the afternoon at the theater. If anybody wants to hear him talk about the play, we have talkbacks with the actors. In the student matinees, we have four of them. The cast participates in talkbacks in every single one of them because I think the students are where we want to start.
Really
it's
important.
The young people yeah. with the study guides and the talking. When we did American Version 2.1 this summer,
yeah.
which was a play, American Version 2.1, The Sad Demise and Eventual Extinction of the American Negro, it was a volatile, provocative production. We had black leaders lead every single show, every single evening show had a talk back. And over 75% of the audience stayed on each one of those. And so people need to air out. They need to just say what they think. There's no right or wrong. But if people at least talk to one another and hear other ideas, that's the beginning.
We're just about out of time, but it seems that people are hungering for that. I mean, I just mentioned this yesterday on the air, but it seems that people want to do that. They want events like this where they can go out and make sure that they're kind of take a test, that they're not the only one screaming at their TV at home.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah. Well, the production, this is great. This is
come over, Joe.
Really incredible. Yes. The world premiere of the new play, American Underground by Brent Ascari and directed by Julianne Boyd, opens at Barrington Stage on October 2nd. It runs through October 20th. You can find out more information by going to barringtonstageco.org, barringtonstageco.org. Julianne Boyd, Brent Ascari, I thank you very much for being with us. Congratulations and
thank you.
Have a beautiful run.
Thanks for having
thank
us.
You so
thank
much.
You. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.